As a station, we believe in playing content with artistic and cultural merit, and sometimes that category includes material which can be construed as offensive. For those who have children nearby or are sensitive to provocative material, the following broadcast may have strong language, themes, or be otherwise objectionable. Please consider tuning out and revisiting CITR after this program.
The Bike Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bike Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m., located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there. No matter what the weather, even if it's raining, you keep everything so high. This is for the ladies, down for whatever, giving it all you got. Because everything is high, everything is high.
What? Mommy showing much love. Cut rug, really want you with the rough stuff. Once you fill the cup up, it's easier to putt-putt. Buzz from above, fuck drugs, just puff bud, light split. Pumpkin, this is priceless. You're quite thick, and I must admit I like it. Tight shit, shake it like some dice, miss. You can keep your day job, I just want the night shift. You're a bad bitch, baby, I'm the nicest. Love you long, know it's wrong, but that ass is righteous. Bright chicken, same with the brain. Cypress windows getting steamy, kitty creamy like my whiteness. Ooh, and I might just wife it and have them all call you highness. The world is divisive. Sugar, stay close, we'll make babies to the house full. Stay most.
Watch out, here's another one, ladies. This right here's for you. And everything you do, we're gonna smoke that brown, make the world go round. Hey, so get ready, we're giving you all we got. And everything is hot, so hot, kick back as your fingers just right.
Girl, you're getting me horny, I get you high. You're looking at me with the bedroom eyes, telling me things you wish you would've kept inside. Now everything is getting hot, you about to spread them thighs. Don't worry about how it's gonna be in the end. Let's just enjoy the journey and proceed as friends and have the best of times. Good sex and vibes, I give you room, do what you do, baby, rest your mind. I fucked up a time or two, but now it's you that I pursue. I know a lot of dudes will probably try to shower you with gifts and shit, cars and things, then take it all back soon as it starts to rain. But I'm there for you, care for you, cut your pussy hair for you with a fresh edge up. Yes, but guess what? I don't kiss but slap you on your booty cheek, but that's just a love tap, loving what you do to me.
Watch out, here's another one, ladies. This right here's for you. And everything you do, we're gonna smoke that brown, make the world go round. Hey, so get ready, we're giving you all we got. And everything is hot, so hot, kick back as your fingers just right.
Yeah, drop it, bounce it like you're jogging. Ounces keep me coffee, yeah, the sound is something awesome. Rocking in the moccasins, pounding while you popping. Exes shooting Texas out, pouting cause they lost him. Let your flower blossom, put the spring up in your garden. Moaning till you're moaning, way you're singing makes me harder. Noble's bringing us to Mars and I can't think about us parting. Stay true, boo, soon I have a ring for you, my darling. Pardon, but you got me crushing. Bun up in your oven, bacon munching on a muffin. Puffing something sticky, give me icky blushes from the touch. And I'm a glutton for your lover, you're the one, I'll be your husband. But let's not get carried away. Or we could elope to Rio and marry today. I don't know, just give me another kiss. Fellas, grab your nuts, honeys, rub your tits.
Watch out, here's another one, ladies. This right here's for you. And everything you do, we're gonna smoke that brown, make the world go round. Hey, so get ready, we're giving you all we got. And everything is hot, so hot, get back as your fingers just right.
It's going down, filming, coming up for oxygen. Lip lock, hip hop, can't walk again. He's wide on top, nothing else to tell.
Back with Off the Beam Path. Actually, you're not back. You are tuned in to Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. Here on the hottest, not just the hottest radio station here in Vancouver, but in all of Canada, which you are getting ready to witness. It's just some good at home, even though none of us are at home, you know, just some good shit. You know, we're just about to be chilling. Listen, if you are just tuned in from Crimes and Treasons, welcome, welcome. Listen, Crimes and Treasons, the best hip-hop show here from coast to coast here in Canada. It's very, very clear, very obvious. And then you're here with me. Listen, and what we're going to do here is first, before we even get started, with anything, it is important to acknowledge that we are gathered here on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations here. Especially, while we do this every show, every day, it's important to acknowledge that, particularly after Truth and Reconciliation Day, which was yesterday for those who are tuned in, and maybe you don't live here in BC or you don't here in Canada, you don't really know. Maybe you live in the States and you're like, what's Truth and Reconciliation Day? And you can understand that, like, I feel like some of the times that we have holidays which are, you know, kind of here to celebrate, you know, festive event, or, you know, kind of to celebrate, something. That's not what this is about. Truth and Reconciliation Day is not one. It's not just supposed to be a day. It is an important observation that takes place to make sure that we are commemorating and honoring the people who never returned home from the children who never returned home from residential schools, as well as their survivors, their families and their communities. It's to recognize the tragic legacy of residential schools in Canada. We're over 150,000 children were forcibly removed from their families. It's also to provide an opportunity for Canadians to educate themselves and learn about the history, not just what happened, but the ongoing impacts of residential school systems. It's also to emphasize kind of the ongoing need of reconciliation and strengthening. What does that look like in the future, and being conscious of that? And it's celebrated, well, it is practiced by wearing an orange shirt day to acknowledge kind of the importance and the seriousness of the day. And it's a very important to kind of think about. And one of the things we do here is every week as we do all that acknowledgement. So I was reading about Truth and Reconciliation Day yesterday, and as prepare for in preparation for the show, and one of the things that has come up in the last year or 2 years is the decline in participation by non-Indigenous people, and so that's something that I personally, you know, as I didn't wear an orange shirt yesterday, and for me, it's something that it's interesting because Truth and Reconciliation is something that I think about constantly. One of the things that, you know, I feel like I can share with my American family about, like, kind of, you know, what are some of the differences when it comes to Canada and the United States and Truth and Reconciliation, the land acknowledgement, those things that, that are not emphasized in the States, particularly in the areas where I grew up. And so, and also just for me, just being myself and who I am and kind of the things that I think about on a daily basis. Like I take it for granted, but I definitely for myself would say, like, you know, like I'm like, I think of myself as like a conscious, progressive person who thinks about these things, who doesn't, you know, who says like, I don't need a day to think about these types of things. This is something that I think about all the time. Like, I don't know if there is a day that goes by that I and not thinking about the oppression of not just my people, but people all around the world, and something that I bring up within conversation, something that I go seek out information about, you know, try to educate myself, watch, you know, films, read, you know, participate where I think it's appropriate. And however, reading through some of the kind of testimonies, you know, from the former director of the Truth and Reconciliation Act, and also just kind of some observations that have been brought to my attention from people sending me articles and things like that, is that the decline in non-Indigenous people participating in the day is not just, for me, it's not just, like, there's definitely a need for people to continue to wear the orange shirts and not just be acknowledge and kind of not just acknowledge and think about these things and learn about these things kind of inside internally, you know, in my own house or in my own mind and my own body, but you have to showcase, you have to show that, not for like any type of like ego, but just so that the people who are, it's important that other people know that you are also supporting. Like I, for me, sometimes I battle back between, you know, kind of this performative activism and then also showing up and showing that, you know, no, there are people who are conscious and who are thinking about this. And so, you know, sometimes it's particularly for myself after the racial reckoning of 2020, like I have noticed this within myself that I have, I don't want to say jaded, but I definitely have been carrying this kind of feeling that, like, kind of, what is it all worth, you know, kind of showing up, showcasing, you know, the thoughts that I have, the feelings that I have, and, you know, kind of putting the action behind the kind of the things I'd like to see in the world change. And I've been kind of a little bit jaded, but because you just feel like, oh, nothing's changing. But in reality, you got to keep fighting. And part of that keep fighting is showing other people that, hey, you know, I'm fighting. I'd like you to see and showcase this next to me. And so, you know, by not wearing orange shirt, I feel like I put myself in a position where, you know, I'm not standing next to those people and not showcasing those people the respect that the day deserves. So that would be the last time that I do that. Or the last time that I don't do that. So I think that is important. Anyways, what we'd like to do here on Off the Beam Path is, one, we like to talk about things that are going on here in the Lower Mainland, things that are going on here in Canada, things that are going on, you know, in North America, kind of anywhere. And there is a lot of going on. You know, we talk about some funny stuff. We talk about some art. We have some kind of guests on here. Sometimes have some interviews that I've done. You know, it is my favorite time of the year, and it is VIF. And, you know, again, one of those things where I feel like this year for me has been a little, you know, sometimes you take a snow globe and you kind of shake it up, and like everything, nothing kind of moves around, but everything moves around and you're just trying to figure out, you know, is it all falling in the right place? Anyways, and so one of those things is that, like, you know, I find that I have been in much of a routine for a long time. And one of the routine things is I like to go to VIF. I like to see as many movies as possible. And this year I just have not, I've only been to one movie, which I'll talk about after the first commercial break, because I really enjoyed it. But I haven't been, and I think feel like by this time I would have been at least been to four or five, at least last year. And I would have interviewed someone about it. I would have gone to a talk. I would have gone to one of the events. I would have seen, you know, I would have gone to one of the talks. I would have gone to one of the events. I might have wanted to gone to one of the mixers. I would have seen at least four or five films. I would, and, you know, I can get into a mode, and I'm sure that some of you can relate, where you can beat yourself up about some of the things that you feel like you should be doing, and just understand that you are in the right place. And, you know, I'll see the films when I see them. But it is VIF, and so I think that if you have the capacity and you have the will, you should definitely take some time out and go in to see some of them. Because while I haven't seen as many films this year as I'd like to, I definitely have looked into quite a bit of films, and there are so many beautiful films. I think this year is particularly touching when it comes to kind of some of the events that are going on in the world. And I feel like, after the commercial break, we got to talk about that too, just because it looks like World War III might pop off. And they say that all the time, but it's different, I feel like, when you can see just raining bombs, just not only on Palestine, on Israel, in Lebanon. You see a ground offensive by Israel. You see Iran getting into it. It just feels like, we're just a few button pushers away from, I feel like I'm too old to get drafted now. Not only that, but I have excluded myself from the Selective Service. But, it seems just like, it just keeps going, getting escalating and escalating and escalating. And so, we'll see what it looks like. When we come back, I'll talk about some stuff that's going on here in British Columbia as it relates to some of the things that you should be thinking about as the election comes up in the next 2.5 weeks. And then after that, we'll talk about some of the shit that's going on in BC that you absolutely need to be paying attention to when it comes to just your life. Because while the election is the election, your life is your life. So when we get back, we're going to be tuned in. I got so much good music. And that's never going to stop. So you will be able to enjoy the music, not just enjoy the music, but you will enjoy kind of everything that we got going on here. So stay tuned for the next hour. Listen, you're here with me until 11. And I love that for you. So stay tuned. Can't put back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So a few things going on here. In the Lower Mainland. One of those things is the election that's coming up. And what I found is that, like, the election in BC is a lot less entertaining than the elections, you know, obviously, and then in the United States. However, feels like they might be a little bit more meaningful, at least to myself. And I mean, in the sense, when I say meaningful, I mean like that the policies that people, the policies that the parties are running on seem a lot more sensible than they're eating the cats, they're eating the dogs, you know, because like when I read, so the BC Conservatives, the BC NDP, and the BC Green Party, when I read their platforms, you know, particularly around the economy, housing, energy, and healthcare, they seem to, where I find in the United States, the, you know, we have a Republican and Democrat party, and it feels like they are so far off, and not just in the actual policies, but in the tone. Here, the policies that they don't make as much. It doesn't feel like they're so far off. You know, however, we understand kind of the direction that they're going to. I mean, and so, like, I think that is important that, you know, you as an educated voter go and take a look at what kind of what they're talking about. All I know is I saw that the BC Conservative Party is offering a $1,500 a month rebate in housing costs. And that's almost as that makes me go, you know, things that make you go, because I need to kind of. It's called a Rustad rebate. I need to look into that because, there is a few things that perk my ears up more than a rebate on my rent. Because the NDP party, and listen, I talk about these kind of these things that are particularly affecting me. I'm a one issue voter, you know, and when I mean a one issue voter, I mean like I vote for the things that I feel like, you know, kind of have the biggest impact on me and the people, you know, around me. And I'm like $1,500 rebate doesn't sound too bad, especially when the other parties are just offering a plan to continue capping residential rent, and that does not help me. Like I don't understand. Like I feel like. There's got to be some fishy shit going on because a rent increase cap doesn't help me right now. Like my rent went up 4% last year and my pay only went up 2%. How does that make any sense? It doesn't. Anyways, but a rebate, you know. Anyways, but I can't vote so because I'm not a Canadian citizen, but I suggest that you go vote and go check it out. You know, every time, moving on. So, I look at the CBC because I like to see what's going on here in the local area. And not only do I like to see what's going on here in the local area, I like to see things like BC NDP leader stung by wasp during campaign. And, like, this is what I go to the CBC for some useless fucking information. Ebby got stung by a bee. But sometimes I go in there and I hear some things that I've never heard before, which has quite excites me. However, because did you know that BC had a beach called Brownskin Beach that was right next to the Burrard Bridge? And I don't know why they call it the Brown Skin Beach, because it was a video. And listen, I don't watch videos from CBC. I just read the articles. But listen, right next to Briar Bridge. And listen, I'm sure, almost guaranteed, that it was some racist reason. But, in, you know, some recent reason that it was called Brown Skin Beach. But in 2024, if there was a Brown Skin Beach in Vancouver, like if that was like the nickname of a beach, I would absolutely go there, except for the fact that, like, I would imagine that they would probably make it, it would probably be like a not a good beach. Like, I just feel like, you know, they don't usually let us brown skin people have the best beach, but I feel like it'd be the best beach, if you feel me. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have to go there myself. And so if you're listening to this and you yourself are also brown skin and you want to help me in 2025 bring back Brown Skin Beach, we can do that. It also just has a nice ring to it. Like sometimes, like for me, no, I'm not, I don't think that's for you, for us. Maybe it's for me, but maybe not for you. But Brown Skin Beach could be a hit, especially if I'm there. You know, that's just kind of how I feel. Like sometimes I feel better just kind of knowing that, like, the sun is shining on me and it feels like, oh, that's Brown Skin Beach over there. Look at that guy. He's shining. He's brown. It's beautiful. Brown Skin Beach 2025. We're going to make it happen. You know who's not making it happen, though? Do you know who is not making it happen? This man who, listen, we've talked about these types of things on, we talk about a lot of stuff on here. And one of the kind of themes is that, like, Vancouver has like 10,001 ways to die. Not because people from Vancouver put themselves, you know, not because Vancouver is dangerous, but people from Vancouver, it's so safe here that they have to find kind of dangerous situations to surround themselves with. I don't know if it's to, like, get that adrenaline or what, but, like, they just feel like, you know, this is just something that I have to do. Anyways, because a climber who fell off the East Lion is lucky to be alive after search and rescue teams found him clinging to a shrub on the North Shore. The man, who was unhelmeted, which is a good thing to note, said he had been trying to solo scramble up the peak when he fell many meters, knocking himself unconscious. He was scrambling and not quite sure how he landed on the ledge or on the bush, but he was able to come to consciousness after about 30 minutes and send a distress signal, where he was then promptly airlifted out. Yeah, so listen, if you think you're having a bad day, just think you didn't fall down the mountain. And it's one of those things that, like, I'll never be in that position, because I'm never going to go solo free climbing on one of the lions when, like, there's trails. Like, that's the thing I don't understand about the lions. It's like, you're going to free climb up the mountain and the mountain has trails. Like, you could have walked up there, but instead you chose to take the hard route. And I respect people for taking the hard route, because for me, like, people are like, you could have flown to Hawaii, so why would you sail there? And I'm like, you know what? You're right, and it would have been cheaper. However, sometimes you got to take the hard way. And so I understand this guy, but, like, if I died in the middle of the ocean, don't feel bad for me. And this guy, yeah, luckily for him, he'll have another opportunity to die some other way. Glad that he made it past this stage. When we come back, we're going to talk about how this is the COVID baby boom is over with, and the government's trying to figure out how to deal with it. I have an idea, and and you'll just have to hear it when I come back.
Ego trip, loosen up your grip from me. Slow burns on my kick, I need passion when you speak. Know you've been through it, life can be cruel. Let's get down to it, don't be too cool. No, I can't be bashful, I built sand out of castles, but I can keep it solid and true. No, I can't be bashful, I built sand out of castles, but I can't wait to grow old with you. Every wrinkle on you came from a smile or two. Keeping it simple, cause I ain't too cool to say to you that I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. Up your grip from me. I can't play it safe. I can't hide behind a tree. Whole lot that's happening. Sanity, don't you leave. Simple things that keep me going. Grow with me, please. No, I can't be bashful. I built sand out of castles, but I can keep it solid and true. No, I can't be bashful, I built sand out of castles, but I can't wait to grow old with you. Every wrinkle on you came from a smile or two. Keeping it simple, cause I ain't too cool to say to you that I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. Listen, you can listen to CITR.ca. You can listen to 101.9 if you're in your car. Maybe you're right now in your house and you're like, you know what? I love this show. How can I keep doing it? Listen, go in your car, turn on 101.9. Listen, anytime you get an Evo, turn it on 101.9 and leave it there. Program it into the station. Listen, tell a friend to tune in. Because it's not just Tuesdays. Listen, not only are you just having the greatest Tuesday of your life here listening to Crimes and Treasons and then listening to me, but you get the opportunity to, maybe you're like, you know what? I could do that. I got a voice. I got some things that I want to say. I got some things that I want to say. Listen, it could be one time or you could do it for 8 years. You know, you could do it for 10 years, 15, 20 years. It doesn't matter. If you have a voice, you have something to say, you want to be a part of kind of the zeitgeist, you know, you can jump in. Listen, and if you have a band, maybe you have a band and you're like, you know what, we've been playing for a long time. You know, maybe you're like, I think this is an opportunity. You know, we really want to play for some people. Listen, CITR every year, they have the Shindig 2024. Listen, the submissions are open. Listen, you can go on to CITR.ca, find out more information. The qualifiers are November 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th, with the finale being on December 6th. We'd love to see your band there playing, you know what I'm saying, playing some music. What I was saying is that Canada records its lowest fertility rate for second year in a row. So basically, BC has the lowest rate among provinces and territories with a rate of one child per woman in 2023. And Canada recorded, and it's just kind of like there was a huge baby boom right after COVID. And what we've seen is that there has been a decline and it's just going down and down and down. People are just having less kids. Basically, Canada has now joined a group of the low-rate fertility countries, including South Korea, Spain, Italy, Japan. And basically, just kind of like one-third of a kid below the United States. I think that was pretty obvious. You know, one of the things is that it's expensive to have a kid. And, you know, people are doing more of the sexing without the consequences. I think that's, there's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, people are just like, you know what? Like, kids are expensive. They kind of suck. And, and it's fun to, like, you know, it's fun to, like, pretend. But, like, having a real one. Oh, no. I think it is interesting that because the agency says that 26.5% of new mothers were 35 or older compared to 10% in 1993. So that is a huge gap. And I think that, I mean, like, it's also, there's so many dynamics which go unaddressed by, like, our politicians and, like, kind of the things in which we talk about, particularly in, you know, in the election. Like, I wish there were some more complex conversations around, you know, from what politicians think. Because, like, I personally do not think that these politicians are so smart, and I also don't think that they have the answers. But I would love to kind of hear what they think is the explanations. Because one of the things that I found out, particularly in consulting in my job, or, you know, just kind of like within the social circles that I find myself in, just kind of like where I'm at, is that I, like, where I'm at right now in my life, like, I am I won't say so far, but, like, I can clearly see the gaps between, like, people who I know, just kind of, like, see the gaps between people who I know and kind of the people who they do not interact with. And the gap continues to get wider and wider. Like, I was listening to an Andre 3000 interview today, and listen, I'll bring it back, but he's talking about artists and how it's not that he doesn't think that older artists can make good things, you know, and make worthwhile, you know, art. But he says that as people age and as people get older, they just stop getting fresh ingredients. And so, like, and he used a metaphor talking about peas, you know, and talking about, like, you can get fresh peas or you can get, you know, canned peas, and, like, you can put them in a recipe, just the fresh peas just taste a little bit better. They taste a little bit different. The canned peas are fine. They make the meal, but it's just something about it. And so I definitely understand it. And so, you know, as one of myself is that, like, I'm trying to continually try to bring in fresh ideas into my mind. It's one of the things that I love about my job, which is I'm always meeting people, always talking to people, asking them questions that they never asked before and listening to answers that they've never said out loud. And so, you know, I really like that in my life, talking to people, being introduced to new things, kind of like just kind of, you know, living a life that provides opportunities for freshness and spontaneity and just kind of some shit that you just, that I feel like that for me, like that's what life is about. That's what it's about. Like, and so I want to hear kind of like, and basically going back to what I was saying is that, like, I see within my work life and just kind of my social circles that, like, the people who I am around, they have a very limited, limited arrangement of ideas. And just because the people that they interact with on a daily basis or maybe on a lifely basis are just not so far much different than themselves. And even the differences are just slight variations, not total differences. And so anyways, back to the politicians. I don't care with the politicians. I don't actually think that they have, I mean, some of them are obviously smart. Some of them have good ideas, but I don't think that they, you know, are overwhelmingly smarter than, you know, the people who, you know, people rocking around every day. I don't think they have better ideas. However, I would love to understand what are some of the, how do their ideas work when it's put to something practical like the birth rate or, you know, some dynamicism, you know, around like things that are moving targets, like things that don't have a really right answer. I kind of want to just know how these people's brain works. Like I watched some of the debate tonight, and I don't think that those are the types of the questions that they ask in the debate are not the types of questions that for me allow me to understand how they think. It is watching people who are prepared for the right answers. And that's what I found that politicians are. They're good at serving up the right answers. But I just kind of want to see what they think. Like, because for me, what I see is that, like, I take that information, and then I look at the fact that last year in 2023, OnlyFans revenue hit a record $6.6 billion, which is up from 5.1% billion last year, which is up from $2.6 billion during the pandemic. And you're just like, that is crazy. And that's what the and they paid out $5.5 billion to of earnings to creators in 2023. And I think that is wild in a world where people are saying things are too expensive. We can't afford to eat. We can't afford to pay rent. We can't afford to do this. There are people who are spending $5.5 billion on new pictures. And listen, if you've ever thought about starting an OnlyFans and you're like, you know what, I'm late to the game, this just shows that you are absolutely not late to the game. There is still money to be got. There's over 4 million people on the platform, which is crazy because it's around $1,500 per year per person. And you're like, $1,500 per year per person. Like, obviously, there's some people on there making fucking money. Anyways, what I think about this is that, like, porn has become so accessible that, like, people are just, you know, porn's become so accessible. People are not, people are having a hard time talking to each other in person. I think that we've seen all these articles. It's very interesting to see how, like, the millennial, millennials are killing XYZ industry. Millennials are lazy. Millennials are entitled. Yada, yada, has just been pushed on the Gen Z. We've also seen that these people are, you know, these youth, young adults are, you know, have trouble talking to each other in person. That's what they say. In trouble going on dates and these dating apps, yada, yada, yada. Boom, no kids. You know, people are making too much money on OnlyFans, you know, and it's like, we know who's making the money on OnlyFans is women. And the women are like, you know what? I'd rather deal with these people on the internet than have to go to work, meeting people on the bus, doing all this type of stuff. And, you know, it's working out better for them and more power to them. Listen, I don't think that you should have kids unless you're absolutely committed, because there's no going back. There's no giving them back. Especially because you could get a little girl like this. This 8-year-old took her parents' car on a 25-minute joyride to Target. Now, what's crazy is that, like, I'm just surprised that she didn't go to Five Below. Like, Target feels like what a 13-year-old would do if they took a joyride. Five Below feels like an 8-year-old, because if you've ever met an 8-year-old, they fucking go crazy for Five Below. It's nuts. And I don't like it. Anyways, I don't know. Listen, I'm in that upper 35-year-old camp now. So, like, I don't know what they would have had to have done 5 years ago for them to convince me to have a kid. But I'm glad I didn't have one. But I don't know. If I have one in the future, my back will be like, you dumbass, should have had one 10 years ago. Anyways, when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the dumb decisions that some of the city council people here have made. And then also, are they or are they not as smart as these criminals? And I'm going to keep it a buck, not the smartest criminals I've ever come across. But it's not saying much about the school administrators either.
My turn into nothing. to keep you cool.
Back it off the beam path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. And so, like, we talked about VIF a little bit. The movie that I saw was Love Lies, which was a Sorry, I'm like having some technical difficulties here. Love Lies, which was a quite funny film about it's like a rom-com, but it's a comedy about an older woman who's catfishing, and then she gets catfished, and it's kind of like it's not quite Tinder Swindler, but like, you know, kind of in that same scammy. Scammy dating. It was a pretty good movie. One of the things I liked about it was that it was I like now watching movies that are kind of working on using the technology that we use kind of in every day and kind of bringing that into kind of like what are some of the types of hijinks that are, you know, associated with that? And so, like, when I picked the movie, it was really about, like, kind of like, I loved Tinder Swindler. That was one of my favorite COVID-ish time documentaries, just because who does that? But then when you watch it, it's romantic comedy, and it's about, like, kind of what that looks like on a, like within like a capital, within like a business, you know, and kind of like with, I think I might've talked about this show on this radio show before, which was the telemarketers, documentary, just kind of like, I'm kind of, when I think about the types of scams, like as I refine the types of scams that I really like, I'm just kind of really into phone scams and just kind of seeing how, one, just kind of like how much money people can make doing it, but also just kind of like how do you become the type of person that kind of sets up this scam and kind of keeps it going? Like, you know, how is that your job? Anyways, it's something that I would suggest that you kind of go check it out. It is a movie out of Hong Kong. It's in Cantonese and it's English. I think that it's showing... Oh, I don't think it's showing anymore, but it was I'm sure you probably can watch it as it does its rounds through film festivals, but it was a great film. This weekend, I plan on going and watching a few, particularly on Saturday. But when it comes to scammers, when it comes to criminality, you know, that's what the show is all about, that and animal mauling. So listen, there's been some crucial animal maulings recently. Anyways, but basically there is so in Atlanta, you know, where the king of scams are at, basically two robbers cut through the ceiling of a shopping mall, of a strip mall, fell through, go through the ceiling, land on a clerk, have her go into the safe, take out $150,000 and walk out the back door. I'm just so incredibly impressed with, kind of like with the audacity that some people have when it comes to heist. Like, it's incredible that you think that you could, like, this is not Ocean's 11 people. Like, these are just regular ass dudes who have some power tools. And they were like, what if we cut through the ceiling and we get to the safe? Like, it's like, what? But then they pull it off and you're like, damn, those dudes got $150,000 by cutting through the ceiling. It kind of makes you feel like there's nothing that you can't do, except for the fact that, like, at every moment, I think, damn, that's a dumb idea, and my black ass will certainly, certainly get caught. And listen, the one thing that I want to do less, like this, I talk about this all the time. I'd love to pull off a scam. I'd love to do it. I just don't have the cojones to kind of do that. But I do definitely give respect to people who do. And they just tied the woman up with duct tape and, you know, one of those do what we say and nobody gets hurt. And I can respect that, particularly in my scams. That's what I like. But when it comes to the biggest scammer, that definitely has to be a tie between Jay-Z and Donald Trump. Listen, Jay-Z's offering a portion of Times Square's casino profits to the surrounding community. Listen, I learned from The Deuce, which is a great show on HBO that you should check out, about the transition in New York from a very seedy, you know, street walking kind of environment to kind of the glitz and glamour that Times Square is today. And what you notice is that they don't give a fuck about those people in those surrounding communities. They didn't then, and they do not now. And so, in Jay-Z, he's very quick to sell off, you know, a portion of his community just for a little bit of money. Especially, it's like putting a casino in Times Square. You know who's going to be going to the casino? The exact people who can't afford to go to the casino, because that's what casinos and lotteries do. They sell hope. And Jay-Z likes to sell hope to his people. Anyways, you know who else sells hope to his people, which is Donald Trump. And he sells hope in the form of $100 coins, $1,000 sneakers, and $100,000 watches. Listen, I've never seen a president, like, hawk shit to get rich. To stay rich and to kind of fund his campaign. And I heard that one idea is that it's a slick money laundering outfit. For me, I'm like, I don't actually care if it's money laundering or not. It's tacky as fuck. And I like, one thing that I liked about, you know, that I appreciated about Barack Obama the first time around, when I didn't really know any better, was that he just wasn't tacky. You know what I mean? Like that. Like, I don't want my president to be tacky. Like we have fallen so far that, like, we have gone beyond just like asking for demands of, like, what reasonable policies might do to make our lives better, like, you know, rethinking student debt, rethinking, you know, healthcare debt, you know, lunch debt for little kids, maybe not going to war, maybe not selling weapons to Israel and the Ukraine, you know, to Saudi Arabia, to whoever else would, you know, has the money to buy weapons. You know, we've gone beyond just kind of like thinking that, like, maybe we can just say, like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do that. And now we've just kind of said, like, yeah, I just don't want my president trying to sell me a fucking watch. And I think that is not, you know, I don't really see us going back. But you know who is going back? You. You're going to go back to doing whatever the fuck you were doing before you turn on the radio. And you know what? I hope that you tune in next Tuesday, because listen, I'll be here waiting for you. You know, listen, we do this every week. Listen, I guess if you want to go check out the music that we played, listen, I got a lot of new music. I do want to leave you kind of with a, so Ta-Nehisi Coates is one of my favorite authors, and I thought that he had a particularly smart and insightful interview this past week about his new book, The Message. You know, and I can tell you about it, but I will let you hear him from his own words, talking about his book and one of the chapters. So you listen, we do this every Tuesday. Try to bring you something, you know, every week, something that's insightful, and just stay tuned. Listen to the whole thing.
In the book, Coates reflects on his emotional first trip to Africa to visit Dakar, Senegal. Then he takes readers to Columbia, South Carolina, where he reports on the attempted banning of one of his books on race. And finally, Coates travels to the Middle East to witness the Israeli-Palestinian conflict firsthand. Ta-Nehisi Coates, good morning. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Good morning, guys.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. You say that this book is written specifically for writers, stating that the task for young writers should be nothing less than changing the world. Why do you feel like writers should bear that responsibility?
Saving the world. Saving the world. Just to be really specific, writing is how we interpret so much of everything that is around us. The Message is a political book. It argues that much of our politics actually happens before we walk into a voting booth, that our choices around us, that who we believe is human, who we don't believe is human, what policies we believe should be in the world, which policies we don't, are actually shaped largely by writing and the stories we tell. And so I believe that writers, and particularly young writers, have so much to do in the politics and in this time when, you know, obviously we have so much conflict and there's so many quote-unquote issues to be dealt with.
Ta-Nehisi, I want to dive into the Israel-Palestine section of the book. It's the largest section of the book. And I have to say, when I read the book,